and play some intro music, why don't we? Just forget that I've been cursing up a storm here. We're getting started now. April 22nd, 2024 being the current year. And I titled this Double Standards because to one familiar with the ways of the world, it comes as a little surprise to see that corporations and campuses who once took a rather inviting approach to political demonstrations have had to rethink their categorical support for such disruptive activities when applied to the state of Israel. Yale and Columbia universities, as well as tech titans Google and Amazon, once welcomed divisive political speech and unruly demonstrations when applied to the opposition of Donald Trump or support for a fentanyl junkie career felon who met his demise resisting arrest. As many of the same employees now take their white oppressor narratives to supporting brown folks in Palestine, the calculus has, of course, changed. Google fired 28 employees for conducting a sit-in to protest their cloud computing contract with the Israeli government known as Nimbus. Protesters against the Israeli military campaign in Palestine at Yale and Columbia have resulted in students being arrested in some number, as it were. A pretty funny thing I saw on Twitter, there was a woman out there who was wearing a shirt that had painted on the front Jew, and on the back it had the Star of David and Israel written through it. And she posted a video of herself at the protest, standing there all alone, completely, you know, without anybody bothering her. The only thing that would seem to be bothering her was the sour look on her face. And she was real bent out of shape about that. It was pretty clear to see. And, but then she goes and tries to post this thing on Twitter as if this is evidence that, you know, that she's being oppressed. And it was called to the attention of, you know, anybody who happened to be looking at it, that she's claiming that she's in all this danger because of the protest, when actually she's at the protest wearing a shirt that says Jew on the front and Israel on the back, and nobody's bothering her at all. She's completely left alone. It's a pretty good metaphor for a lot of what goes on, right? A bunch of people who have absolutely nothing to worry about saying that they're being oppressed by people who complain about them. Happens a lot. I saw a video this morning, a promotion for a book whose author and title I'm not going to mention here because I don't want to call too much attention to it, but the theme of it is there's a bunch of videos of showing violence on January 6th at the Capitol. It says they lied about January 6th. But first, they lied about Charlottesville. And then it shows a bunch of Antifa violence all throughout the country, and then a couple of clips from Charlottesville, including the infamous footage of James Fields' car crashing into those folks after he was running away from the rifles of Redneck Revolt. And then it touts the book title and the author's name. It says, "Get this book by the guy who was organized this stuff." And I had an idea for this, you know, I had an idea not so long ago. It was like, you know, oh, you know what I should do? I should put together a video that sort of associates these two things. And as I saw this done, I was like, thank God I didn't do that. Because the guy who put this book together is always complaining about his like lack of social status and his lack of success, and he puts together this video which is violence, 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 and he's like, read the book from the guy who organized it. And I'm like, yeah, that's you're actually not being cheated. You understand? You're not being screwed out of anything. You deserve this. You know that, right? And I ran this by somebody. I was like, thank God I didn't do this. And he, you know, asked me about what I mean specifically. And I'm like, anybody who looks at this video is just going to see violence, violence, violence. Here's the guy who organized it. Go buy my book. And they're definitely not going to do that, right? Like, the only people who are going to buy that book are people who want to discredit that guy, right? And there's a lot of them, so, you know, he might make a few bucks. You imagine that most of them, you know, they'll probably get one copy, you know, scan it, pass it around to their friends or whatever. But at least he gets to say that he wrote a book and that he published it. And then when the book doesn't succeed, then he'll just complain that, you know, he's being conspired against. And you see this happen with everybody. You know, I wrote a piece some time back titled Unknown Soldier. And in it, I said, we've all seen people who don't know what it's like to suffer. They find themselves screaming like lunatics in a street, claiming that they are the most oppressed people in our society. We tend to mock them for this, but there's some truth to it. They've been deprived, in a sense, of what it means to be human, to be alive even. Deprived of the opportunity to struggle. They are weakened, and sensing this, they seek out struggle. They seek to tear down civilization itself and see us return to a sort of Hobbesian state of nature, red in tooth and claw more than an ideology. Perhaps they see themselves, perhaps they seek to see themselves deprived of the comforts which have rendered them unfit for the Darwinian contest of life. If not for the impact on our families, we might hope they got their wish. And that could be applied to a lot of things, obviously. But none so much as that girl who's on the video, you know. Oh my God, look at how oppressed I am that people are criticizing a country that I don't live in. And then I go into the country, in the home country where I'm supposed to be a citizen of, I declare my loyalty to that foreign nation. And I identify myself as a member of the group that's being protested. And then I say that the mere fact that I'm standing here with a sourpuss on my face is demonstrating how oppressed I am. Tells you all that you need to know about those people, right? And I think, sad to say, there's a lot of a similar phenomenon going on the right. That there's a bunch of people who act like, oh, the system is corrupt because I'm not in control of it. There's no hope for political activity because I tried political activity for like 15 minutes and like, look, all this stuff is still messed up. I guess I'm just going to have to bring down civilization itself and then, you know, after civilization is completely destroyed, then I can have political power. It'd be funny if these people weren't so, you know, if they didn't claim to represent the most important issues, right? If they weren't positioning themselves as the alternative to all of this lunacy that we see that is obviously completely unsustainable. If that wasn't like the vanguard against the status quo, that'd be pretty funny. If they were just like the libertarians or something, that would be pretty, you know, that'd be fun to laugh at, right? But there's actually nothing there, you see. there's actually nothing standing against the status quo. That's what's going on right now. That's the current state of affairs, believe it or not. And that is a rather sad state of affairs. If you've been paying attention, you know, I started doing these interviews on Grindr, the GPS-based all-male dating app, where I talk to people about, you know, their experience on the platform, you know, how long you are you gay? How long have you known the answer to that question? And the clips that I posted as previews of these are pretty interesting, and they're compelling, right? Guys are telling us that they've been abused by their, you know, they were abused as children. Guys telling us, I figured out that I was gay after I was divorced 3 times. You know, whatever it is, there's a whole bunch of different things that have gone on. And I'm talking about important subject matter. And what you see is a bunch of people turn around and be like, oh, you must be gay. Oh, you must be gay because you're talking to people on Grindr and then you're publishing the phone calls and there's nothing sexual about what you're doing. But because I'm a sex-obsessed degenerate loser with my mind in the gutter, that's where my mind goes. I represent the far right, by the way. And it's completely bizarre that I'm not in control of the government. That's actually not curious at all, right? That's not you being oppressed. That's not the system conspiring against you. That's not anything other than you deserving to lose and getting what you deserve, right? It's a bunch of people who go out and say, I'm going to take on the most powerful forces on the earth. And the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to chase away everybody who dares to try and support what I do. I'm going to go out and make sure that everything I do is boiled down to genitalia and claim to be the right wing. And I'm going to call the Republicans a bunch of cucks. You deserve to lose. That's actually not a conspiracy. It's not the Jews. It's not the media. It's not the left. It's not the Democrats. It's not the Republicans. It's not the Uniparty. It's not the New World Order. It's you. You suck. You're terrible. You're a loser. Nobody wants to be around you. Everybody who tries to be around you regrets the experience, and you deserve to lose. That's exactly what's happening. And that's going to continue to happen, basically, you know. Until something else comes around to replace it, basically, right? And that's not going to be another thing that's a bunch of anonymous accounts on the internet. First things first, okay? The number one evidence that you have that the Grindr calls that I was doing are a good thing, or not that Grindr banned a half dozen of my accounts for doing them, it's that the people who are trying to wreck the far right, who devote all of their time to nothing other than discrediting the right wing, pulled out all the stops to discredit that work. It was a coordinated effort that didn't take 2 seconds to begin. It was like, oh my God, we have to shut this thing down. They went balls to the wall. They never stopped. And so that happened. And I was like, you know what? You people are a bunch of disgusting idiots. And I've been trying to cater to your whims for almost a decade. And it's a completely losing venture. I'm smart. I'm talented. I'm good looking. I have better things that I can do with my life than be dragged down by a bunch of losers like you. I've had more interesting conversations with gay people on Grindr in the last couple of months than I have with most people who consider themselves far right today. Because it's actually interesting, right? It's like, hey, you know, what do you think about this? And then somebody tells me something that, like, is not something that's recited from some textbook or podcast that everybody listened to, right? They're not repeating cult jargon, you know? It's more interesting, though I may disagree with much of what they say and do, it's a more interesting conversation because it's not echo chamber nonsense or a bunch of people who are obviously saboteurs trying to wreck a good thing. And so I really don't know what comes after that. I don't know. But whatever's going on, it's not working. Like, that's plain to see, right? Do you want to follow? Do you want to be like, okay, guys, you know, let's go. Let's go follow any one of these people who have led us to where we are and expect them to lead us somewhere better, right? Anybody who thinks that that's going to work is probably, you're probably a retard, actually. You're probably really, really stupid. And you deserve what you get. And what you deserve and what you get is that you lose. And that's not a conspiracy. You're acting like the people that you claim to oppose, actually, is what you're doing. You're saying, oh my God, I've chosen to completely ignore the opinions of my fellow man, and I'm not winning the popularity contest. This is completely nuts. It must be some kind of conspiracy against me. No, that's not the way it works, actually. You have chosen to act in the most antisocial manner that you could possibly conceive of doing, and then nobody wanted to be around you. And everybody who did want to be around you regretted it because you have no concept of loyalty or decency or intellectual standards at all. And you end up alone as a consequence. Everybody who tries to be involved with you, you chase away, you make them regret it, you do stupid things, and you end up surrounded by a bunch of anonymous internet accounts, which you end up with. And those anonymous internet accounts are not who they claim to be in probably 95% of the time, but you are stuck to your, oh my God, we can't dox anybody. Everybody has to be, you know, the only way that we can do this thing is if it's a bunch of anonymous internet accounts and nobody could be held accountable for their speech, right? And so you have a bunch of people who can't be held accountable for their speech saying things that real people wouldn't want to be held accountable for. And then you lose. And that's not a conspiracy. That's not the Jews. That's not the Democrats. It's not the Republicans. It's not the neocons. It's you. You deserve it. You're losing because that's what you deserve. And that's all I've got to say tonight, as a matter of fact. Because I've really completely had it. I'm going to keep on doing stuff. I don't know what I'm going to do. I've completely had it with what's going on. It's not working. It's not paying me. It's not solving any problems. I'm dragging around a bunch of people who actually don't appreciate, you know, there's a lot of people listening to the show. You're great people, obviously. Okay. But it's gotten to a point where the number of people who are actually supporting the production and the people who are loudest are a completely different category of people, right? I'm dealing with a situation where trying to run Surreal Politics as a revenue model that carries the radical agenda. Why am I carrying the radical agenda? Why am I doing that? Nobody's going to answer that question. Because there's not a good answer for it, right? There's actually no good answer to that question. So I'm going to call it an early night. What am I going to say? You know, the campuses and the corporations, they like the state of Israel. Who's surprised by that? What are you going to do about it, actually? What are you going to do about it? Of course it is. I'm being told that the stream is repeating in small 4-second segments because this is video streaming in the year 2024 and Odyssey doesn't work, right? It doesn't work. It hasn't worked the entire time that I've been using it. And it's one more example of what I'm talking about, that the alternative streaming platform uses Stripe for its payments and doesn't work. Because the whole entire thing is a bunch of losers who really like can't get their heads out of their butts. That's what's going on. And so, no, I'm not going to pick up the phone. The phone lines are not on. So the show's over tonight. I'll be back. I'm figuring out what to do next, and I'm not entirely sure yet, all right? I'm showing up for work because, you know, I feel like I have like a work ethic obligation to show up, but I got to figure out something else to do because this is not working and I'm not doing you any favors by pretending it is. Okay. So I hope that you all have a great night. I hope that those of you who actually pay for the damn thing, I'll see you on Wednesday. And everybody else, you can go to hell. All right. Talk to you later.